morning, everyone. We are very grateful that you could join us on our Good Friday service. This is always a little bit different than our Sunday morning service. We really try to emphasize the cross and what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross for us. So it's a little bit more of a somber time. It's a time to reflect for each one of us the great sacrifice that God put forth for you and I. So it's a time to reflect. You'll notice on your seats we left pen and paper there so that you could use those later on in the evening after I speak here, and I will explain what that's for. So the message of the cross, it says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, listen to this. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Think about that. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I'm going to say it again. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the Apostle Paul writing to the young Christians in Corinth, the message of the cross, talking about the cross and a person being impaled on the cross, not for his sins, but for our sins, is foolishness to the world. Stupidity. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Amen. You're sitting here tonight. Much of the world is doing worldly things. They could care less about remembering Jesus Christ on the cross. But for many, if not most of you, your eyes have been opened. God has touched your heart. And this is the power of God to change us. We're going to talk about that tonight. The cross. The symbol of the cross speaks for some of hope, of relief when they see the cross. For help, it speaks of hospitals and churches. And forgiveness, I've been in some remote places in the world, very remote places. And when I see the symbol of a cross out there, it immediately gives me hope and peace. Maybe you've experienced that. Then there are some who, when they see the cross, they see it as a threat. A threat. They must control the cross. In some countries, they will demolish and destroy all crosses because that cross speaks of freedom. That cross speaks of liberty. So we're talking and focusing in on the cross tonight and what was accomplished for us on that cross. And the key text of Scripture that I would like to read to us tonight and discuss, and let's be really honest with one another here. For some of us, we've grown up with an awareness of the cross. It's no big deal. Some of us wore a cross, you know, around our necks growing up, but it really didn't have a whole lot of meaning and impact. I pray that you would see it differently tonight. Colossians chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading in verse 6. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him, Christ, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith and the power of God who raised him from the dead. Now these next few verses are where we're going to really focus in, so I ask that you would pay attention here especially. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. For he forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them. That's speaking of the evil realm, the evil one and his demonic forces. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he, God, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. By the cross. A lot of words there, but they're not empty words. This is the word of God. Each one of them carries powerful impact when we take time to contemplate this. And that's what I want to do this evening. The Apostle Paul here writes to these young Christians in Colossae. And he's saying that you were once dead in your sins. And that is and was the position of each one of us as believers now in Christ. That was our past. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. Paul makes that very clear in many of his writings, in Ephesians also. Past tense. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. We were the walking dead. Men and women, though we were experiencing life and going through motions and going to school and having jobs like many people today, we were dead men walking. As it says in the scriptures, without God and without hope. And if we take the time and if we're honest with ourselves, each day we see people, we engage people, and they're going through the motions. They're living and hanging on. They're living for a paycheck or a government check. With no hope. Many. And without God. Well, Paul writes this to these believers and to us today. You were dead in your sin. Without God, without hope in the world. But then he says, he forgave us our sins. He forgave us all our sins. And it made me think of a scripture in Romans 5:8 where it says this: God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did not wait for us to become good people. He did not wait for us to start going to church. He did not wait for us to pick up a Bible and start reading it. If you remember the thief on the cross, the two thieves, the one looked at Jesus on the cross as he was dying, said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into paradise." Jesus said, "Today you will be with me." God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That's why it's Good Friday. It's Good Friday for us who have come to believe, whose eyes have been opened, who have come to believe in what Jesus Christ did in dying on the cross, not for his sins and problems, but for yours and mine. That's love. That's love. Maybe we've been looking for love in all the wrong places. God's love. He demonstrates his love. I've always liked that when I read that word. He didn't just talk about it like many of us Americans. He demonstrated his love by sending forth his one and only Son to die on the cross for us. The innocent for the guilty. And then it says in this portion of scripture, having canceled the written code that was against us and opposed us. It says that God canceled the written code that was against us and opposed us. What is that? It speaks of a certificate of indebtedness. You and I owe God because of our many sins. Our many sins. We think we're having a good day if we get through the day with maybe just a couple sins. And as we've learned through Evangelism Explosion and other illustrations, you count up those daily sins after a year or two or 20 or 30, and it's a mountain of sins, is it not? If we're honest with ourselves. When somebody comes to me and says, "Oh, Pastor, I think I got through the day today with just sinning once or twice." Oh, we sin with our minds. We sin with our mouths. We sin in our thinking of evil thoughts of one another. We sin in that we do not love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength most of the time. We sin when we do not love our neighbor as ourselves. Having canceled the written code that was against us and opposed us, we had this indebtedness we owed to God. One translation describes it as we had an IOU to God that we could never pay back. And when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he canceled that code that stood against you and I, that said guilty, guilty, guilty. Without God, without hope. Yet Jesus Christ went to that cross for me and for you. He paid the price. He canceled it out. That's the meaning of the cross. We could never pay for it. We could never have it erased. But he did. He took it away, nailing it on the cross. And not only that, it says he disarmed the powers and authorities and made a spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. A vanquished enemy, stripped of their clothing, stripped of their power, stripped of their armor. That's the picture. That's what was accomplished when Jesus died on the cross. Satan was defeated, meaning he has no more rule and reign in your lives once you come to believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior and put your trust in him. This is what was accomplished on the cross. So when that code that was erased and removed over you, that stated guilty as charged, God removed it. In the scripture, one of my favorites, Romans 8:1, it says this. Listen carefully. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And this is where you and I have to stop and ask ourselves, can I honestly say with a clear conscience, I am in Christ Jesus. He is my Lord and Savior. I put my trust in him and what was accomplished on the cross. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So ask yourself this night, can I say with confidence, my life is found in Christ. He is my Lord and Savior. I have looked to him for forgiveness of sins. He has canceled out what was written against me, all my sins. So here's what we wish to do, and we have done throughout the years on Good Friday with those pens and paper that you have, the small sheets there. It's not large enough for you to write your whole story, life story on it. But we would ask that if you are willing, if you would want to, but you do not have to write briefly on that piece of paper. You can fold it over. You do not need to put your name on it, but write briefly something in regards to this, thanking God for the mercy that he has shown to you and forgiving your sins. And you might want to mention one of those sins, the forgiveness that you have received from God. It might be something that just you and your Lord is aware of. But to write that in a meaningful, thoughtful way, really between you and the Lord. And then we will give you the opportunity here. We invite you then, after you've written, to bring it. And we will provide a nail and a hammer. And we nail that on the cross. It's symbolic. Now, I know with some of you, this is a challenging thing to do. Just hearing the nails go into the cross is troubling to some. But I submit to you, this is not just a religious exercise. This is something that should cause us to ponder God's great love and his great sacrifice for you and me. It's Good Friday for us. It cost God in a major way.